Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
There is wrath coming upon this earth in the future. That tribulation period, the day of the Lord, in the Old Testament is called over and over again a time of God's wrath, a time of God's anger, a time of God's indignation upon those who dwell on the earth. The church will not be here because God is not mad at you. You are not going to be recipient of God's wrath.
In these days when conditions in this world just keep getting worse and worse, we need to hear again and again the assured hope that when the world sees a wrath like never before, we, the church, will not be here to experience it. Praise God. Those who trust in Jesus for their salvation will be caught up in the air, taken before the tribulation period begins. It is our hope. It is what we wait for. We continue our opening study in 1 Thessalonians and the hope we set our eyes on. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The thing about Paul bringing the gospel to them was that they went through the area of Thessalonica and they were there for 3 weeks. Went into the synagogue, persuaded them through the Old Testament that Jesus was the Messiah, and immediately, you can read about this in Acts, immediately there was persecution. The Roman authority, this is a Roman city. There were Roman cities, and if you were from a Roman city, you had privileges. And the thing about Roman cities are that they wanted you to worship the emperor. And so immediately the Roman authorities had problems with Paul. And in fact, they had to rush Paul out of the city. And there were, we don't know how many people, I assume it couldn't have been more than a handful, maybe a couple of dozen of people that got saved. But from those couple of dozen grew this church in Thessalonica. Listen to what Paul says about them. Verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. If you follow someone who's following Christ, then you're following Christ, right? You became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. It was there that they arrested Jason, remember, who was one of the early converts, and they brought him into their courts and they took surety from him so that he wouldn't escape and be able to come back and answer to them. We also know that many of the Thessalonians, or that there were those in the church of Thessalonians that gave their lives for Christ. It says, you received the word of God in much affliction with joy in the Holy Spirit. Affliction, but joy. I can't help think, and how much of what we're hearing about what's going on in Afghanistan now is true or not, I don't know. I'm hearing a lot about Christians that are being persecuted, about Christian workers who are being threatened. They're searching door to door. There are Calvary Chapel pastors, workers that are over in Afghanistan now, and we should be praying for them because we don't know what's going to happen. Pray that God would get them out. Pray that God would give them grace, that God would grant them life if their lives are in danger. We hear now that their lives are in danger, and perhaps they are. But so were theirs. And yet in the midst of the affliction, they had great joy. It says, so that you became examples to all of Macedonia and Achaia who believe. He's saying some good things about these Thessalonians. You guys became an example to all of Macedonia and Achaia. For from you the word of the Lord was sent forth. They became a base in their region for the gospel, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. Everywhere they went, they learned about how Paul went to the Thessalonians. Isn't it interesting that God would take a 3-week window in the ministry of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and that God would expand that to reach an entire region of Macedonia? You might think that, you know, planting a church and seeing fruit, you roll up your sleeves and you dive in. Sometimes. I'm not going to discount that. Yeah, sometimes preaching the gospel and going to places can be hard work. But sometimes God just uses the strangest little things to reach an entire region. And that God would take these people that had Paul and Silas and Timothy for 3 weeks and use them to reach the entire area. Then our theme verses. For they themselves declared concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's the first step of the gospel. That's the first step of people hearing from you, that you receive the gospel, that you turn from whatever you're living for to the living God. From there, you can preach the gospel and people will either respond or reject. But remember, one man plants, another man waters, and God adds the increase. It's God that's adding the increase. So then he says to them, and how you turn from God to idols to serve the living God and to wait for his son from heaven. Now, this is extremely important because this is early, right? It's the earliest letter to the church. And right away, we find that they are supposed to wait for Jesus from heaven. They are not to wait for the Antichrist. They are not to wait and look at the world around them and determine whether or not they're in the end. They are to wait for Jesus. Jesus said the same thing. Be ready, for you don't know when I'm coming back. I'm going to come back to you at an unexpected time. So we are to wait for Jesus to come back. We're not to be trying to figure out the Antichrist. One of the questions I get most often is, are we living in the last days? And trust me, I know why I'm getting that question, right? We have wars, pestilences, plagues, all which talk about, you know, these are birth pains coming to the end. And I understand it. And we may be very close. But when you see all of these things happen, what does the Bible say? Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Doesn't say when you see all these things happen, hunker down, go and buy yourself some dry food and get a bunch of ammunition and load up. What are you going to do, shoot your neighbors who are coming to steal your food? I love you in the Lord. Right? When you see these things happen, look up, for your redemption draws near. We know that when the world's going through these things, that Jesus is at the door and we are waiting for him. Let me just cover a few verses with you, all right? You might want to take notes on these. I'm going to go through them kind of quickly, but I think they're important verses that help us to understand that we are now supposed to be looking for Jesus. We are waiting for him. We are not waiting for the Antichrist. The Antichrist will not be revealed until we are gone. And yes, I'm talking about the rapture of the church. Some of you guys are like, you really believe that we're going to be taken up in a moment and twinkling of an eye? Yes, and that's why all of us should make sure we have clean underwear, because our clothes are going to be left behind. We're going to be transformed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. As strange as it sounds, I believe that that's what the Bible teaches. And we're going to see that as we get into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So a couple of verses, Philippians 3. I want to read these from a few different books, okay? I could have pulled these from one book, but I wanted to do it from a few different ones so you could get the whole idea of what we see in the New Testament. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says, for our citizenship is in heaven. We don't belong here. We are citizens in heaven. We don't have dual citizenship. We don't dwell on this earth. We're pilgrims, the Bible says. We're passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly wait for the Savior, that's from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Paul said, behold, I tell you a mystery. We are not all going to sleep, but some are going to be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. This corruptible will put on incorruptible. This mortal will put on immortality. He goes on to say that we may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. He's subduing everything. He's in control. He's ending it all. 1 Corinthians 1, 6 and 7 says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short of no gift, eagerly, again eagerly, waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And an amazing thing about Titus 2:13, and if you're taking notes, write that down for sure, because Paul calls Jesus God in that verse. And in the Greek, it's very clear. It's not just clear in the English. Listen to it again. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He calls Jesus God. So if anybody ever tells you the Bible never calls Jesus God, let's take a look. Jude 1, 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In Matthew 24, Jesus tells four parables. And the gist of all four of the parables is, be ready because you don't know when I'm coming back. I'm coming back at a time you don't expect it, so be ready. So listen to what he says in Matthew 24, 44, in the midst of these parables. Therefore, you also be ready. Are you ready? If Jesus were to return now, are you ready or do you have to take care of something? Because it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I don't know how long that is, but it's pretty fast. And it's probably hard to repent in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. About the time you realize what's going on, you're like, I got to get there. Oh, I'm left behind. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you don't expect. If Jesus were going to come back at the end of the tribulation period, or the middle of the tribulation period, or in the pre-wrath view at the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, you'd expect him. You can't tell me that at the end of the tribulation period, after flesh is rare, you've probably been martyred, but let's just say you've made it through. You've probably been martyred and you're already in heaven if the church isn't taken out before the tribulation period. And you're not expecting him? You're expecting him. The Bible says, and we're going to read this in a moment, at a time that they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. That's not the end of the tribulation period. That's not the middle of the tribulation period. It can't be. It's not a time of peace and safety. And so he says in Matthew 25, 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 through 4, the end of this book, it says, for you yourself know perfectly well that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. Thief in the night comes to your house and steals things when you don't expect it. I have a friend that had his truck stolen. He had bought a brand new Ford diesel truck. Got stolen. He had a GPS on it so he could tell where it was. Got up in the morning, looked at where it was at. It was already in Mexico. On the freeway going further south, middle of the night. Had he known when the thief was going to be there, his truck wouldn't have been stolen, right? So you yourself know that the Lord comes like a thief in the night. For when you say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. Notice it says them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that day should overtake you like a thief. You already know. You're ready. You're waiting. You're to be ready all the time because you don't know when Jesus comes. You're like the guy that's staying up all night to catch the thief. You're like, I'm ready. And so when Jesus returns, I am going to be looking for him. Jesus said that we were to, listen to this, Luke 21, 34 through 36, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. It's not supposed to come upon you unexpectedly, but it could, for it will come as a snare on all of those who dwell on the face of the earth, earth dwellers. Watch therefore and pray always that you would be counted worthy to escape. Watch and pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. That's the rapture. In Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. Watch and pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things and stand before the Son of Man. Now, the last thing that the chapter says is that Jesus delivers us from the wrath that is to come. Now, many believe that he's talking about the wrath of eternal judgment. And that is certainly true. I've given my life to Christ. I will be at the Bema seat when my motives and the things that I've done for him will be judged. But I am not going to be judged for eternity. I'm going to be welcomed in as his child into heaven, inherited in heaven with Jesus. However, there is wrath coming upon this earth in the future. That tribulation period, the day of the Lord, in the Old Testament, it's called over and over again, a time of God's wrath, a time of God's anger, a time of God's indignation upon those who dwell on the earth. The church will not be here because God is not mad at you. You are not going to be a recipient of God's wrath. People say to me, well, you're just an American who wants to escape. Well, right on both accounts, by the way. I am an American, and I do want to escape. I don't want to go through that time because God's not mad at me. And you're not going to make it through it anyway. It says that some believe that it says that God will preserve you through it. All right, a few verses on the wrath of God. Romans 5, 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Revelation 6, 16. Talks about the wrath of the Lamb. I won't read it, but it talks about the wrath of a Lamb. Can you imagine the wrath of a Lamb? It's hard for us to imagine. But Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. And people, men hide, want to hide. This is the beginning of the tribulation, by the way, in Revelation 6. They want rocks to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. It's not coming upon Christians. It's coming upon the sons of disobedience. And finally, we have a promise that we are going to be taken out of this, that we will not experience it. And that's in Revelation 3:10, where there's letters to seven churches. Philadelphia is the seventh church. And to the seventh church, he says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Notice that it says he's going to keep you from the hour of trial that's coming to test those that are upon the earth. God will take us out beforehand. We can be confident that we are to live for him today because we will not go through that tribulation period. As strange as that sounds, it's going to happen. I don't know what the world's going to say about us being taken away. Probably that the aliens came and got us. That's probably what they're going to say because of the time that we're living in, right? But what I do know is that we want to leave behind a faithful gospel, a life that they can see so that people will turn to Christ once we are gone because they will need to because the world is creeping closer and closer to those last days when the tribulation period will happen, when the Antichrist will be revealed, and all power and authority is going to be given to the Antichrist for a time, the Bible says, for a time, and then it'll be taken from him. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word, which gives us these incredible promises and this truth that our world is marching towards a time that is unlike anything that we've ever seen before. It's worse than any other time, and that we are to look up when we see those things approaching. And so we set our minds on you, our Savior, our God, our Deliverer, that we might be able to worship you, that we might be able to live for you now, being ready, living a life in such a way that people would see us and come to Christ when those things happen. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. And I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you have never received Jesus as your Savior. You've never been born again. Jesus said you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of God. John 1 says, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, everything becomes new. Everything can become new for us if you were to receive him today. Now, maybe you made a commitment to him sometime in the past, but you didn't follow through, and you need to follow through today. Or maybe you're here today, and maybe you're young. You've never given your life to Christ. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got a call. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to transform you. If you want to give your life to Christ today, I'm going to ask you to do something simple right where you are. Just raise your hand. God bless you guys. That's great. God bless you. God bless you guys. That's awesome. God's doing a work, touching hearts, drawing people. Just raise your hand. God bless you. Back over here to my right, and God bless you, ma'am. That's great. Anyone else? All right. You can put your hands down, and I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. You know, Jesus took those 12 disciples and a group of women that followed him and ministered to them, and he transformed them. And he's done the same for those of you who are responding to him today. There's a transformation that's going to take place. And you are a follower of Jesus Christ, committing your life to him and now living for him. And we want to give you a Bible, a new believer's packet. We have a new believer's table that's over in this foyer. You could also send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com, especially if you have questions about what it means to be a Christian. You want to make a commitment, but you haven't done that yet because you just have some unanswered questions. And if that's you, I want to commend you. I think that's really good that you want to make sure that you count the cost and know exactly what it means. So send an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. We'll have people who will interact with you. Ask your questions. We'll have people who will interact with you, all right? You could also send a text, ready for Jesus, to 94,000. You'll get a link back. Click on that link. It's our new believer's card. We just want to make sure every way we can that you have an opportunity to come out of the starting blocks running really well for Christ. Now, I want to pray for you because as we talk about this topic of watching and being ready, Jesus said it, be ready, because I'm coming back when you don't expect it. There are a lot of people that aren't ready. And I got to think tonight, there are those who aren't ready. If Jesus came back in a twinkling of an eye right now, would you be one of those that kind of automatically knew what was happening? It's like when you're startled by someone and you know who it is, but you still make a weird noise. Will you know it's Jesus, but be unable to repent because you just don't have enough time? I want to pray for you that you'd make things completely right between you and God. There's no better way to live. There's no better way to be than to make sure things are right between you and him. All right. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you guys to lift up your hands, men and women, men in the generic term, right? Men and women. And I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray as we lift up our hands and call out upon your name. We are asking you to help us. Help us that we would be ready. And if there is anything in our lives that stops us from being ready when you return, Lord, I pray you would reveal that to us. Help us to live our lives in such a way that people can see Christ in us, the hope of glory, that they would be drawn to him, even as Paul and Silas and Timothy lived in front of the Thessalonians for those 3 weeks in such a way that they saw the genuineness of their faith. We pray that our faith would be shown as well as we live wholeheartedly for you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself day by day drawing closer to God. And may God completely do a work inside of you as you live for him.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.